Hour number two of the Sports Hangover. We are off and running. Let's see. This hour, Gary Smith is going to fill in for Coach Willie Fritz. Since it is the bye week, we may be able to get Coach Fritz later on in the week. We hear from Tom back over there at Tulane, so we'll try to get him later in the week. They are on a bye week and getting ready to play another Thursday night game next Thursday night at SMU against the top 25 team in the Mustangs. But Gary Smith, who covers the week, we'll talk about the season that we knew was going to be tough. We knew they were going to face a schedule. Got one win. So we'll touch on that coming up. Tim Rebo, tough loss in the Riverbell Classic. A fun game, though. They'll look to rebound this week. We'll talk to Coach Tim Rebo about his Colonels. Frank Selfo, the winner of that Riverbell Classic, inviting LSU fans and Tulane fans to come to Strawberry Stadium and come check out his football team. We'll talk with him about his upcoming game and finally being able to legitimately play a game over in Strawberry Stadium, which is something they have not been able to do, if you can believe that. It's kind of amazing when you think about it. 4-1 on the season. They will host HBU. It's homecoming, and it's the season opener at Strawberry Stadium. So we'll see if we can reserve a little spot for the intern to have his own private tailgate out there at Strawberry Stadium. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. At ESPN Radio NOLA, got a pair of questions of the day, real simple for you. And one of the things that I am asking based off of what last night's game was, well, how do you feel about the Pelicans? They lose last night, 127-96. And Coach Willie Green, though, saying, look, they took a step in the right direction. That's what he had to say. I played it for Andrew Lopez a little bit ago.
Yeah, it's really good for us. This was a good evaluation period just to see where we are. We got a lot of young guys, and we're trying to keep things really simple right now for them. But the biggest thing is to play with force, to play with toughness, to play with pace, and to play together. Like I said, the score doesn't look like it, but tonight was a step in the right direction.
Look, it is what it is with a lot of the different areas on this team, but as far as getting Josh Hart tossed again, it's a second Pels player this preseason to get tossed, had this to say?
Yeah, I mean, we looked at the play, we fouled, they didn't call it, but Josh is a competitor, and that's just who he is. Every game, no matter what, he goes out and competes at a high, high level. We have to be better as a team of getting ejected because it hurts us, but he's a competitor.
One of the things that I think you also saw in this game, too, is, and I played the highlight earlier to start the show, Devontae Graham knocking down a three. And I said that's one of the things I wanted to look in that game and even the one in Chicago. I assumed I had come in assuming that he was going to be the starting point guard for the team. Yet the play of Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Trey Murphy had a lot of people going, you know what, that might not be a bad starting duo in that backcourt. I know there's Kyra Lewis as well. So all of that still to be figured out. And again, as Andrew brought out, the main thing of all of this is this. How did it all fit with Brandon Ingram and Zion? Isn't that what the whole thing is about? Right? Isn't that with the whole athletic article? I need better pieces around Zion. All right, well, the problem is he hasn't played. The problem is you don't know when he's going to be healthy enough to run. Brandon Ingram, overly cautious, the team being with him bumping knees in the preseason opener. But he hasn't played with the guys that are going to have to be playing around him. Now, you do have all the way into what, May or April. I get that. I think that's the look at the start of the season. I couldn't even begin it. I've been saying with the Saints, Thanksgiving, you'll get a really good chance to see what kind of foundation is moving forward with this football team. You have over season played at quarterback with whoever it was going to be the starter. We know it's Winston. Michael Thomas hopefully will have at least a game or two under his belt to be in better condition. He's not going to be in great condition. You're going to have Onyemata back, game or two under his belt. So that Buffalo game, I'm real interested to see because right now the Bills are one of the best teams in the NFL. Josh Allen is absolutely legit. That Thursday night game, Thanksgiving night, that is going to be something else. So I'm interested to see how that goes. But with the Pels, it's sort of the same way. I mean, again, and I know Andrew was saying like Zion was doing conditioning and all that. Me riding a bike, me doing the Stairmaster or an elliptical machine, and then running down to the local Y or a gym or even the Pels facility and running 5-on-5, two completely different worlds. And if I haven't been doing it for a while, it's really going to hit you. Now, I know these guys are the best condition and best athletes in the world. I get you. But if Zion broke his foot before summer league, you're looking at, what, 2 months, 3 months where he hasn't been running? I'm just telling you, it's going to be a couple of weeks until this guy gets his wind and or drops weight. Hard to shed the pounds. Again, I'm not being ugly, but he's a little thinner than last year. So it's going to be a bit. And then you got to reintegrate the lineup and how those players are. So it's going to be a while. I'm not expecting a 9-1 start out of the first 10 games. I'd be pleasantly surprised, almost shocked, right? So it just is what it is with this team. It's going to be a while. Again, the two main players that will take this organization to playoff status and higher have not played with the new group of guys. Overwhelmingly. Now, I know Brandon Ingram did spend 2 weeks in Nashville. Congratulations. I'm talking about in game against other opponents. So it's going to be a bit. Just throwing that out there for you guys. It's going to be a little bit, right? One final thing on Willie Green on Akil Alexander's preseason. It was a positive for him.
Yeah, pretty good preseason for him. He just got to keep shooting open shots. That's what we tell him. When you get open, shoot it with confidence. Teammates are looking for him. He plays with a certain pace and force and energy that it creates havoc for other teams. He'll make those shots. And, you know, we like I said, we just want to continue to build.
So we'll see how it all winds up being. Head coach Sean Payton yesterday spoke with reporters heading into the bye and his thoughts after what he had seen looking at the tape. So let's kind of go over some of those things. Some of that was pretty, and including his review of the game film, his thoughts on how he thought the team played against Washington.
No, I felt good. I mentioned after the game, from an offense perspective, you know, they got into some heavy fronts. They played a lot of man-to-man. You know, it was not going to be a zone game. Generally speaking, when that happens, you're wanting to hit some big plays, and that's exactly what happened. They played a few snaps of safety, three deep, four under match, or some quarters. But for the most part, we got a lot of heavy fronts. We thought that would be the case, especially with the injury at linebacker. And then, you know, defensively, we knew containing their quarterback and some of the RPOs they give him were going to be the key. So, obviously, in the kicking game, Blake was outstanding. Good win. It was a good road win.
So on some of the things that we saw in the game, first and foremost, you know, it's not going to get updates. That's how it works. But he was asked about Hill.
We won't cover any injuries. I mean, I think that's where you're going. He's doing well.
Okay. So, look, again, that's always a good thing that you will have him back hopefully in 2 weeks. That was just a scary situation, a scary hit on how that happened. One of the things that he did touch on, though, was when you lose Taysom Hill and Deontay Harris, that affects you, right? And how that affects you is something he had to adjust to say the least, in that game. And here are the limitations that he kind of touches on.
There are some plays when you have an injury to a player. There's some plays that you just aren't going to call because it might have been just the focal point of that player. And then there's a good portion of your offense where, you know, Deontay's backup, whether it's Kenny Stills or one of the other receivers, is learning that package. You know, the tight ends or the Fs are learning some of the stuff Taysom's doing. So, but there are a few plays that, you know, you just take a high, you know, a sharpie through.
So when you see that, you know, the Sharpie, and how many plays, though, he was kind of asked right afterwards, would you say that is, in not having Deontay Harris and Taysom Hill?
I think probably there's 7 or 8 plays. You know, there's, you know, a handful of the quarterback run / pass packages that we would carry each week with Taysom. And there were 2 or 3 plays that Deontay had gotten to work on during the week. Those are the ones that came to mind right away.
All right, so there you go. It kind of gives you some ideas as to some of the things that you would be limited to in that situation. I wanted to play this, too, as well. And, again, a lot of what yesterday he spoke of, I'm going to play in the third hour, next hour. And he specifically touches on philosophies and getting the team ready. But he did speak today about what we all talk about, or we all speculate. What will this team be like when they actually get everybody back? Or imagine if they had this player. I mean, Amy and I talked about it, the Carolina game. You think they couldn't have used Marshawn Lattimore and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in that game? You don't think Quan Alexander would have been helpful against Christian McCaffrey? Peyton, though, is like, I can't think like that. And I understand it. I do. You can't have that mentality. And it gives you the reason why he thinks.
I think the first thing is attitude. You know, I hate being around, you know, this idea of, well, we're, you know, with the excuse already built in. I think that's can be extremely contagious in a negative way. And then obviously your job is to prepare and teach. And then your job then is to look at who you have and then try to put them in the best positions to be successful. I just think that that's what we're paid to do. And in this league, there's no utopia. There's no, everyone's healthy this week. You know, I mean, it's just, it's ever changing. And, you hope your numbers at the right time, are reduced rather than increased. And, but I think it's important each week. And we talk about it. Sometimes it seems cliche, but man, all of these guys, the guys that are on the active roster, the guys maybe on a practice squad, they're going to play. They have to be ready to play. And if they're not progressing where you don't have a vision, then you need to turn that part of the roster and keep looking for guys that you feel like can help you if the time comes.
So there you go. Kind of gives you an idea as to where he sees his team and where it's going to go and how he views it. And look, he also says it. He can't wait to get these starters back and have these injuries and to see where this team goes. And I, for one, am in the same situation. One final thing, the kicker situation.
Yeah, look, it's a good question, a fair question. You know, hopefully Will is close to getting back, and I think he is. In the meantime, we'll make sure we evaluate each of our options and all of our options. And, you know, the good news is we have an additional week to do that.
So we'll see. But we'll talk more about this coming up next hour. Ahead, scheduled, Mr. Tim Rebo. We'll talk a little Colonel football. Gary Smith will talk Tulane football, and Frank Selfa will talk Lion football. All when we come back, it's the Sport Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Back when the earth was new, tubes of lava flowed up from the heart of the earth.
And those lava tubes are the diamond mines of today.
I love diamonds.
But created diamonds are born in a plasma chamber.
They are chemically, structurally, and optically identical to diamond mine diamonds.
A plasma chamber?
Plasma is not a solid, a liquid, or a gas.
It's the most rare substance on Earth.
But the most abundant substance in the universe.
Have I ever seen plasma?
A bolt of lightning is plasma.
And the sun is made of plasma.
Created diamonds are born inside a miniature sun?
You can think of it as a miniature sun or as a ball of lightning.
You have to put a tiny seed of diamond into the plasma chamber for every created diamond you hope to make.
So that's why we call them newborns.
Diamond Mine Diamonds and Created Diamonds.
We give you every choice.
Welcome to Ramsey's.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
What'd you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fan.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, welcome back. It's the Sports Hangover, as we do each and every Tuesday. We speak with head coach Tim Rebo, the Colonels coach.
How you doing?
Doing fantastic, man. Look, we talked last Tuesday about what that atmosphere and environment was going to be like. You knew it was going to be an exciting game. Unfortunately, obviously, you didn't come on the winning end, but my goodness, 58-48, you gave the fans over there in Thibodeau their money's worth.
Yeah, it was a fast-paced game. It started fast, it ended fast, a lot of ball in between. We got off to a good start. We went up 7-0, and I thought we had an opportunity again to get down there, and we dropped the ball. Could have gone up 14-0, and then that second quarter was a little rough for us. We turned the ball over a couple of times, but made a few adjustments. Our guys came back in the second half and fought all the way to the end. Good football team. You know, Southeastern is a good football team.
So you take a look at it, Coach. What were some of the things that stood out to you when you put the tape back on Sunday and looked at it?
Cole Kelly. He's as advertised. You know, everything is good. I thought we hit him a couple of times. He still got some first down. We had a big fourth down. We had an opportunity to get him behind the line of scrimmage, and he broke a couple of tackles and got the first down. We threw two interceptions in the red zone. And I thought this. We fought and fought back in the second half, and we got it to a three-point game, and then they returned a kick for a touchdown and kind of got it back to a 10-point game. And, you know, that I thought was one of the bad breakers. And look, a team that's that good offensively, you can't give them something like that in a kicking game.
It's incredible when you take a look at the statistics, and sometimes the stats don't tell you the sort of game that you're going to see, but 573 yards for them, 507 yards. It's just, I mean, it literally, it felt like, like the Fury Wilder fight, man, from Saturday night. It was just two offenses going at it. And look, it's a school in yours, Coach, that's won the conference, and they're trying to win it. And that felt like a game that should be like that, didn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of a playoff type atmosphere. You know,
yeah,
in the games
kidding,
that we use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we usually play them every year, the last game of the year, so it was a little bit different, you know, playing them early, and then we get a chance to see them again later on. But two good football teams. I thought you're right, if for the fans going at it, it was back and forth, a lot of offense. It's hard to play defense against these guys nowadays, you know, against anybody. And I know you can mention it. We got another one coming up this week.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Cole Kelly, solid offensive player, obviously, for the Lions, but coach, the Colonels, DeJean Dixon, I'm starting to really talk about his importance, right, with what he's been able to do with you guys. 171 yards, 2 touchdowns, 11 receptions, comes the 10th player in the Southland Conference history to reach 200 receptions, and it's just on and on and on. He's incredible.
He's so hard to defend, you know, and he's so smooth. And then, you know, a couple of times they tried to put two guys on him over the top, and he still makes catches. He knows how to get open. And I think him and Lindsey are getting it's even more and more every week, getting on the same page, you know, and teams know where we're going to go with the ball in certain situations, and he still has a chance to get open. So that's the exciting part. But I will tell you again, we got to get some other guys more involved. KJ mm-hmm. Franklin has been finding a way to find the end zone. Dontez Carson, we've got to get going, and we're getting a couple of our other receivers back this week, which is going to be a big plus and should help us.
You don't get to 500 yards, head coach Tim Rebo of the Colonels, without getting some help on the ground there as well. You didn't have Julian Gums, yet you still rushed for over 200 yards.
Marquise Albert stepped in and did a really good job. And then, of course, Lindsey, you know, is a could also say he's a running back there, very good quarterback, but also gives you some things with his feet. But I still think, Gus, it goes to our offensive line. You know, our guys, how good they are up front, and I thought we did a good job of handling them. Southeastern's defensive line. We just got to be able to punch a couple more in the end zone. The game didn't flow for us as easy as we would have liked, especially playing it at home. But we got some things to work on. We got some still things we can execute and get better at.
Obviously, getting some help on the defensive side helped close that game a little bit. Jordan Jackson's pick six. Look, you got to have playmakers on the back end as well. And when you're facing, as you mentioned, a guy like Kelly, doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Look, it was a tip ball, but you have to be there to take advantage of it, don't you?
Yeah, when I look at it the other way, too, you know, Lindsey throws a pick early in the first half, was off of a tip ball, you know, and they right. get the ball at the 25-yard line. So, you know, it goes hand in hand. We talked about it in the second half. You know, you got to be able to get a stop. We got the stop, and we happened to get the score out of it. It gave us a little bit more momentum. But those guys are good. They did a good job right there. We got to get our hands on some more balls. Right after that, we sack him and we get another turnover. You know, we get Jaquarius Martin gets a strip. Terry Gansey comes up with a fumble and the offense goes right in and scores. And, you know, we thought that gave us a lot of momentum in the second half.
So here we go again. As you mentioned a little bit earlier, another ranked opponent there coming up here for the Colonels. And, you know, it's one thing that you've always said, but it's a legit thing to say, Coach. This conference is pretty tough here, the Southland. And, you know, you take a look at Incarnate, where the Cardinals in San Antonio, they're playing some pretty good football.
When you got the teams that are picked 1, 2, and 3 in the conference, going at it, it's going to be toe-to-toe. It's going to be a good battle. And, mm-hmm. and Gus, the thing that all three teams have is a quarterback. And, you know, when you got a quarterback that you can make it go, and, you know, we talked about Cole, and then Cameron Ward for them was a freshman of the year in the country last year. So Eric Morris knows what to do with the football. They know how they spread it out. He's got some weapons. You know, the things that make them a little dangerous too is they got a really, really good running back. They got good, running backs, two good running backs. They got a transfer, kid from Southeastern on their team. And they also got Trevor Beggy, who played at McNeese last year, transferred mm-hmm. over there. So offensively, it's going to be a challenge again for our defense.
So I was going to say, when you take a look at their wins, even their loss, they put up 41 at Youngstown State. It's yeah. 40, it's 42, it's 31, it's 38. I don't know if this is a good thing, but I mean, having been in a game just recently like that where you have to score in order to stay, is that just the state of college football now? You go into games expecting, hey, you're going to have to put up 30 points.
You're going to have to. Exactly right. That's what it's going to be. That's what, I don't want to say that's what they want, but I think that's kind of what created it, you know, the spread offense. And, hope you know, you mentioned it. Hopefully we can look at it and say, hey, you know, we didn't perform in the heat of some competition last week, and hopefully we can look at it objectively, positively, and say, hey, look, what did we learn from last week and how we can be better and how we can improve their performance this week.
All right, so, Coach, I always like to ask you this towards our end of our conversation, the keys of keys. I know there's coaches speaking there, right, too. I mean, the turnovers, things of that nature. But is there a matchup or something specific that you think against a team like that is key? Is it the what I always ask you, a quick start?
Well, I think this, a quick start. Let me tell you this. It's going to be a tough trip, you know, busing over to San Antonio. Leaving Friday. Then we're going to have a quick turnaround Saturday morning because it's an 11 a.m. start. So our guys going to have to get out of bed, feet hitting the ground, getting ready to go. And I think so because, you know, we're 0-2 on the road right now. We all, you know, our first two games, we didn't fare well. We got to prove that we can win on the road. And, again, I think we protect the ball. We got to put some points on the board and, again, get a couple key stops. And we need some more turnovers, Gus.
Coach, is there anything you can do to make sure you have an early rise? I mean, look, I live in a household. My son's exact like my wife. He's 4. She's 40. They do. It takes them a while. I'm up and I'm ready to go and I'm functioning. I see one hit the wall. I hear the toothbrush fall. It takes a while. As a coach, can you do things game wise to do it? Like on offense, you know, get the screen game or something like that. Defense, maybe blitz, get them moving on. Is there things you can do game wise to make sure your team's ready to go? Is that in warmups?
I don't think so, because you don't want to go out to the field any earlier.
Right.
You want to try to stay with your same routine and the things that we can do. I don't want our guys to think any different if it's an 11 o'clock game or if it's a 6 o'clock game in the afternoon. You know, we try to keep the same routine because we are creatures of habit. You know, getting them out of bed, I'll always say this, we try to walk around a little bit, get around the hotel, put food in front of them. It's always a good, get guys going when they smell that bacon cooking in the morning.
Now you got me hungry, Coach. Thank you so much for your time. As always, look, I know you wanted that win last week, but it was fun to watch. And guess what? You get another shot at them at the end of the year, right? November 18th on the Thursday night. So.
And I think this, you know, we look back, Gus, we got 6 games to go. The race is far from over.
Sure.
There's a lot of football left to be played, and the old cliche, let's get this one this week.
Well, you'll know exactly what this feels like because coming up on November 13th, you get to host Incarnate Word, and then you will finish at Southeastern. So this is kind of the first go-around to see what it's like, and you'll at least know what you're going to face here towards the end of the year. Good luck, Coach. Safe travels, and we'll talk again next Tuesday.
Okay, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yep, thank you so much. GoKernels.com is the way to go check them out over online. And, of course, on Twitter, which is how I follow it on game day, especially when I'm busy, at Nichols_FB. When we come back, Mr. Gary Smith covers the Tulane Green Wave for the Advocates and the Picayune. Not the start that the Tulane Green Wave wanted this season, so where do they go from now? They have a bye week. SMU comes up next Thursday, again on national television. Gary will talk about that next on ESPN New Orleans.
AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. Dashboard light problems? We can help. Our free Fix Finder service can read your check engine light, ABS light, and service indicator light, and give you possible solutions, verified by licensed technicians. You'll even get detailed results sent straight to your email so you have them when you need it most. It's the most complete free warning light report backed by technician-verified fixes. The free Fix Finder service, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
More details at AutoZone.com.
Wake up to Wendy's and get a bacon or sausage, egg, and Swiss breakfast croissant for just $1.99. Made with fresh cracked eggs and served on a hot buttery croissant that's fluffy enough to sleep on. It's time to wakey-wakey. Hit the Wendy's drive-thru and get your bacon or sausage, egg, and Swiss breakfast croissant for just $1.99. That's a better breakfast for just $1.99. Only at Wendy's. We got you.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary. Third-party delivery prices may vary. Not valid in a combo.
Wonder if you should get tested for colorectal cancer? Well, it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., and screening helps prevent it. So if you're 50 or older, it's time. Even if it doesn't run in your family, most often colorectal cancer occurs in people with no family history. And it doesn't always cause symptoms, especially early on, so don't wait for symptoms to get tested. Screening helps prevent the disease by finding precancerous polyps so they can be removed. Remove the polyp, prevent the cancer. Screening also helps find colorectal cancer early when treatment works best. You might be thinking, oh no, not that test. But here's the thing, you have options. There's more than one screening test. Talk to your doctor to find the one that's right for you. No more excuses. If you're over 50, get tested, because colorectal cancer screening really does save lives. A message from HHS and CDC's Screen for Life campaign.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Time to talk Tulane football. Mr. Gary Smith, normally head coach Willie Fritz, will join us. It's a bye week. He will try to join us later on during the week. In the meantime, and I mean this in a very good way. Gary, we'll fill in, sir. How are you? How are you doing, man? Long time no talk.
Doing pretty good. Tulane obviously not having the season they want, but from my perspective, yeah. Hey, at least I'm not covering a team that was coached by John Gruden. So, you know, I've got that.
Very true. At G-U-E-R Smith is the way to follow you over on social media, on Twitter. All right, look, you said it. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat this.
Yeah, no.
1-5 is not where Tulane thought it would be going into this, although Gary leaving fall camp, into fall camp, one of the best teams that Fritz was having on paper talent-wise, one of the toughest schedules. So which one is it, Gary? Can it be both? Can you have talent, but the schedule's too tough? Did you maybe not have the talent you thought? Or is it just all schedule here? Because if that's the case, well, then what does that say if you think you have one of your better teams and you've only won one game?
Yeah, first of all, the schedule is very tough, but it's not the schedule that's the issue. I'll throw this stat at you. So Tulane, you know, they beat Morgan State. That was their one win. But they played five games against FBS opponents. All five of those opponents have had their season high for yards against Tulane, against FBS opponents. So they gave up Oklahoma gained more yards against Tulane than they did against any of their other FBS opponents. Ole Miss obviously did. UAB did, East Carolina did, even Houston did. That's a problem. and that was something that was not foreseen going into this year. Clearly, Tulane misses their stud defensive ends that they had last year more than they thought in Patrick Johnson and Cam Sample. Because look, this team has a lot of issues, but basically they just haven't been able to stop anybody. And that's why they're sitting where they are at 1-5. And with a game against 23rd ranked SMU, and then a game against top three Cincinnati the following week, it's problematic, and that's the area they've had turnover issues. The offense has been inconsistent, but mainly it's been the defense just has not been able to stop people.
And, okay, so I'm going to go Joe Fan here, Gary. I'm going to go Joe Fan. Well, I thought that's why you brought in a new defensive coordinator, Chris Hampton, and I'm going to answer Joe Fan by saying, you need players, though. You just brought up those two DNs. I was bringing this conversation up with somebody earlier in the week, too, that Tulane, for a stretch while I was the sideline reporter, had at least one or two players that, you know, you could say in the secondary, at least got a camp invite, got drafted or is an unrestricted free agent. And last year, you just didn't see that at safety. And I haven't seen that at corner. I'm not being mean or ugly, but has there been a talent drop-off in the last several years as to why the defense has been struggling?
Yeah, I mean, no question the defensive backs, they don't have that one guy that is in that situation. A few years ago, they had more than one, actually, on the same team. But I don't think you can just attribute it to that. Obviously, that's part of it. I don't really think there is a good answer for what's happened this year, and that's why the coaches are so surprised. Remember, this is a team that when they almost beat Oklahoma, of course every team says this, but their party line was that they were disappointed because they go in to win every game, and they're good enough a program now that they think they can go to Oklahoma and win on the road, and now they're sitting at 1-5. It's just a combination of factors. Without question, the last 2 years they've not gotten the play in the secondary that they did before, but their recruiting has been better on paper in the last couple of years than it was earlier in the Willie Fritz tenure. He said multiple times before the year started that he thought this was his most talented team from top to bottom on the roster. So, it's a little. Jeffrey Johnson is a heck of a nose guard they've got sitting there, who's a 3-year starter in the middle. And even with him in there, they're just not getting the job done. And, it's a little hard to put my finger on why the defense has, because last year it was more a case they couldn't get off the field. It was if a team had 3rd and 15, they were getting first downs, touchdowns, the Tulsa game, stuff like that. And that was why he ended up making the change to defensive coordinator, because I think the defensive players had lost confidence in what they were being coached to do. But this year, they can't tackle. And Willie Fritz, I go to the practices. He practices tackling as much as any coach in America. He prides himself on having good tackling teams. Tulane has been a good tackling team under him, and they've been a very poor tackling team this year. Maybe we can throw the hurricane situation into it. They evacuated to Birmingham. Maybe they lost their focus. The production just hasn't been there.
Is it tough then, Gary, when you're struggling on that side of the ball to establish something that Tulane's always been known for and really help the offense and help poor Pratt, who's beat up every game,
yep.
and that's running the football? Because statistically, they're over 1,000 yards. Statistically, mm-hmm. you know, it looks like they're okay, but my eyes just see a different backfield than what they've used to.
Your eyes aren't deceiving you, and I think that's a combination too. I just don't think their running backs have played particularly well this year. There's been a drop off there. Cam Carroll has not had a great year, which is evidenced in his average per carry. He's been a little hesitant. He hasn't been hitting holes particularly well at times. And I think Stephen Hutterson transferred at the end of the year, and by the end of last season, I felt like he was Tulane's best running back, and he did hit the holes hard. He didn't have a ton of natural ability, but he had great vision and hit the holes, and that's what Tulane hasn't been getting a lot of. And I'm not saying Cam Carroll's been terrible. He just hasn't been as productive and as assertive as Tulane's running backs have been in the past few years. And then obviously Tyjae Spears, who's an unbelievable, he's an NFL talent running back. He's still not 100% recovered from his ACL tear last year. He had a couple of beautiful runs against Houston, but then I think he may have re-injured himself. Well, no serious injury, but he had to leave in the third quarter and didn't come back, and that's one of the reasons they've been limiting him.
Right.
And that's been a Willie Fritz staple, and it's been, like I said, the numbers aren't terrible, but they're not where they need to be for a Willie Fritz offense, because they're just not good enough to drop back and throw enough times, which isn't on Michael Pratt. It's on the offensive line not being able to protect him, and also the wide receivers just aren't good enough at this point for Tulane to do that.
Well, as you mentioned, sir, it does not get any easier, and you're 1-5. I think the bowl possibility, I mean, you got to win a game here coming up. You're at SMU, and that's a place that they've struggled at. That's on Thursday night again on national TV, and then right now you're facing what currently is the number 3 team in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And they are just dropping 50. I mean, they dropped 50 on a conference opponent last weekend. So that's coming. I don't remember, I think, winning at UCF. I might have done it once in my 13 years.
Yeah.
I guess Tulsa, November 13th. It's just, man, it's rough. I'm not being ugly. No. It's just they're going to be really tough games to win.
I do think after these next two games, the schedule lightens up, because they haven't won at UCF, but this UCF team, their quarterback's injured. They have not been a good football team this year. They're not at the same level they've been before. I think Tulane would play that. The SMU game will be interesting in that Tulane has never beaten SMU, but they've almost beaten them just about every time they played them. It's just a series of heartbreaking losses. They can play with SMU talent-wise, but it's not a good matchup this year, because SMU's ninth in the country in offense. They're averaging over 300 passing yards a game, and as I pointed out, Tulane's had trouble stopping teams that were not as prolific offensively as SMU. And then Cincinnati, forget about it, and that's not a Tulane comment. That's a team that made me in the college football playoff at the end of the year. So Tulane's got to find, maybe SMU overlooks Tulane. Who knows? They're undefeated. Tulane's 1-5 in past years. It's been a toss-up game going in. But it's certainly looking like Tulane's going to be 1-7, entering a more manageable stretch after that. But that would end Willie Fritz's 3-year streak of bowl games with a month left in the season if that happened.
Yeah, it's a shame, because Gary, you had a trend of going in the right direction, and I guess that's going to be the selling point, right? I'm not saying that season's over, but to an extent, Gary, this is where you're going to be. I can kind of forecast this already. What's the selling point to next year? I mean, is it just one of those, man, this year just kind of went south that way? And I know you can use Ida for a bit, but Gary, talent is talent. And I think that's kind of the thing. I don't know if there's a conversation to be had with administrators again, use the transfer portal better. I mean, but because, again, when you're lining up against teams, you've got to beat teams in your conference, and teams in your conference are just better than you.
Yeah, I mean that's the question. The talent level is not as bad as the record indicates this year. They're underachieving on the field for whatever reason. That has not been a Willie Fritz pattern in the past. But they're not, the defense is, it's not great, but it's not this terrible. And I do think here's where the schedule did come into play. I think the Ole Miss game knocked the tar out of them in terms of confidence, because this was a team, and teams tend to be delusional. But after the Oklahoma game, I really think the defense thought they could play with anybody after shutting Oklahoma down in the second half. And now we know Oklahoma's Heisman Trophy candidate might not even be the Oklahoma starting quarterback for the rest of the year, since he got benched against Texas. But the way Ole Miss scored touchdowns on 9 of their first 11 possessions and basically just toyed, it was men against boys in terms of the production that day. And I don't feel like Tulane's defense recovered from that performance, because a UAB team that's good, but that Tulane should beat, they got outplayed by. And then East Carolina team that's not particularly good, Tulane just got run off the field, gave up over 300 rushing yards and 300 passing yards. I don't think it's as bad as that looks, though, for next year. The schedule gets – there's no Oklahoma. There's no Ole Miss. I feel like this year could be a blip. There's no – we won't know until next year.
Right.
But I do feel like the recruiting rankings, the recruiting classes have been ranked higher than they were early in Fritz's tenure. They've been ranked higher than they have been almost in the entire Rivals.com era.
Right.
There's no reason for Tulane to have played as poorly as it did this year. And sometimes you just have a bad year. One other thing, I don't expect Tulane to quit. That's fan talk when a team loses its bowl chances and stuff like that. Well, what do they have to play for? What do they have to play for? They want to try to win games like any other team. So I do think that even if they're almost certainly not going to a bowl game this year,
right,
but that last month of the year will still be significant going into next year, with 4 games where they can play with the teams and they need to right the ship, because I know this, the coaches are really confused too about what's going on. They did not see this coming at all.
Yeah, I think that's the frustrating element of it. And sometimes, and I know fans don't want to hear it and supporters don't, of the simplest explanation of, it just turned out to be a bad year. And look, I think that snowball effect is a very real thing in sports. You see it, right? When you cover baseball, you'll see a guy that 5 innings was great, then can't throw a strike. You'll see a guy that's hitting home runs for 300 average, can't get a hit. You'll see a guy that, is threading the needle, can't complete a screen pass. I mean, I do think in sports, there's a mental aspect of it. And it's interesting you brought up that Ole Miss thing, that if confidence gets zapped, and then things start going a certain way, that thing they've been battling the last several years of getting rid of the, oh, here goes Tulane again, same old Tulane, it does to creep in, which is nuts, because a lot of these kids weren't around when all that started, but it just builds.
Exactly. And that is where I think Willie Fritz will make a difference, because I know in past, Tulane teams did quit about midway through the year. The second half of the year for a long time, before Willie Fritz arrived, was, it did look like guys had mailed it in and they were just playing not to get hurt. He's never had a team like that before. I do think he has changed the culture. I think in the past when they talked a good game, but when they started off poorly, they'd kind of give up. I don't think that's going to happen with this team. And they also, Michael Pratt's still a really good quarterback. If he sticks around in the program, and I see no reason that he won't, he should be next year. He'll be a junior, or a third year player. He should be better. The offense has done some really good things under Chip Long. They're using the tight ends heavily. They're getting them involved. There are signs for where they could turn it around quickly next year. But that's no guarantee either. And let's just see what they do in the next 6 games. It's going to be hard for them to beat SMU next Thursday. But I will say this, they played much better for 3 quarters against Houston. They didn't miss tackles. They didn't turn the ball over. And then they were in a position to win, and then they fell apart in the 4th quarter. They committed a turnover, and then their defense stopped tackling and got run over again in the 4th quarter. But 3 quarters is better than no quarters, which is what the defense has been doing in the previous 3 games. And let's see if they can build on that a little bit moving forward here.
Be a big win if they could do the upset on ESPN next Thursday, bye week this weekend. Mr. Gary Smith covers Tulane for the Picayune and Advocate at G-U-E-R Smith, the way to follow on Twitter. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, when we come back, Mr. Frank Selfo, head coach of your Southeastern Lions, wants everybody to line up. We'll explain when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are home of strong.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start. And we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Etel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back. And we're here to make your business surge. Etel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Coco's Mexican Restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland is open and ready to please you. They have daily lunch specials Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mouth-watering Mexican food daily with delicious specialty dishes like coconut shrimp tacos, Baja fish tacos. Plus try the trio burritos or a carne asada. Coco's Mexican has happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. Delivery service from waiters also available. They're located on Highway 1 in Raceland next to the post office. Coco's.
Terrebonne General Health System Community Sports Institute is recognized for outstanding service and contributions to Terrebonne Parish. We provide a certified athletic trainer to every Terrebonne Parish High School. We also provide concussion baseline testing to over 1,400 student athletes annually, along with CPR and AED certification to over 500 area coaches at both the schools and the recreation departments. We are proud to be your trusted resource in keeping our community safe. Visit tghealthsystem.com.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Be sure to follow Southeastern Football, the Lions, over on their webpage, lionsports.net, the athletic website, and, of course, over on Twitter. Real easy, at Lion Up Football. Head coach Frank Selfo joins us on Tuesdays at this time each and every week. We thank him for that. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing fantastic. What a heck of a game last Saturday. Obviously, A, you're happy that you got the victory, but 573 yards for you guys, 507 for them. I mean, it was an offensive show. You gave people that attended over there in Thibodeau their money's worth, that's for sure, huh?
Well, you know, we knew that you kind of saw the game like that playing itself out. You know, there's two good teams, especially two good offensive football teams with so many weapons on the field. And, you know, we're just fortunate. We got a couple of stops on defense that gave us a chance to kind of pull ahead a little bit. And that's the deciding factor in the game.
I asked Coach Tim Rebo a little bit ago what stood out in that game, and he immediately said their quarterback, Cole Kelly, all he did was set a career high with 5 touchdown passes, threw for 406. Look, he's a huge part, obviously, your offense, but are there weeks where you just keep going, wow, what else can he do, and he's doing more and more?
Well, what's happening, Gus, is, you know, Cole doesn't have a lot of experience. He didn't start any games until the spring, and he started 7 games for us, and then now he's, I started now. And so he's coming in his own, so there's growth that's taking place. He has a high ceiling. He hadn't reached it yet. And just the opportunity for him to continue to play in the starting role, I think that's where you're seeing the growth come from.
We touched on this, I think, last Tuesday as well, too, that you had, in your last win, a high number of players touch the ball, at least saw a catch or a reception. When you take a look at all the scores, you had a handful of players. What, 5 different players caught a touchdown for him? So that kind of gives you an idea of spreading the football around. That comes across as somebody that knows pre-snap where he's going and has confidence in everybody.
Well, it does, but you got to realize. I think that our talent pool is really deep right now. We've got a lot of speed. We've got some explosive players. I've been at some place where the quarterback was great, maybe a running back and a receiver, but not. We just hadn't had the depth at the receiver position to have the explosive plays that we're getting out of these guys right now. And that's what's pretty cool to watch. Cole's able to go through, like you said, his progression to get the ball where it needs to be. But the guys that are catching it are turning, you know, slant routes or crossing routes and 4 and 6 yard routes into 15, 20, and 30 yard plays. And that's what's exciting right now.
I asked Coach Rebo this as well, that not just in this game, but when you look at this conference, some of the top teams, they're going to play Incarnate Word, and you can see some of the teams in this conference. Do you have to go into certain games thinking, look, we need to score 30. They're going to score 30. It's a possession here or two, right? Because what I'm saying is you look at a game like this and you see they get 500 yards and things of that nature. Sometimes that's the game that you play on the field, right?
Yeah, but if you go in a game scoring 30, you're going to lose probably.
Okay.
You've got to score more than that. You know, it boils down to the stops, the turnovers, things like that. And that's when you give another team who's explosive, like Nichols State or Incarnate Word, you give them an opportunity, give them another at-bat, they'll take advantage of it. They're going to get points. And more times than not, they're scoring touchdowns. And because of that, you got to keep the ball, you got to convert third downs, and then you got to take care of the football. Then on the defensive side, get off the field on third down. But those turnovers are huge. When you can get a turnover and flip the field and give your offense another at-bat, that's really a two-possession swing. And I think that's where sometimes people miss that point when it comes to defense. It's not just about the points. It's about the opportunity.
I know we touched on this way back when. It's hard to believe it's, you know, what, 5-6 weeks ago, Coach, that we talked about Ida, how you guys are doing. It'd be nice to get back in the state. And yet, two games at least were instant. Coach, we're here. You are finally going to play a football game in your own stadium on Saturday at 4 o'clock against HBU, also homecoming. But that's incredible to think that you wait till October because of things and circumstances to finally have a game in Strawberry Stadium in Hammond, man.
Yeah, you know, between this season and the last two games of the spring, you know, we haven't played here since March, and it has been that long. But I think what our players, the resiliency they've shown, and what they've been able to accomplish thus far this season, and it's not enough. The best is yet to come.
Right.
But for them to be able to go on the road and do the things that they've been doing, and come back off of this 5-game road swing with a 4-1 record, and performing in the way they're doing, really excited to get back home. And I know the people here are looking to fill up Strawberry Stadium, make this a true home field advantage for us.
I know it sounds kind of silly, but it kind of popped in my head, too. When you kind of make the what is it normal, the guys traveling for the play, trying to make that a normal thing for you guys, and now here you are at home, it comes with that, I'm assuming, a certain amount of energy that comes with it, right? And handling that at first, is that even a conversation you kind of have to have to, okay, y'all going to be amped up, let's, you know, try to manage it, or you're just going to see where the game sort of goes at the beginning? Get what I'm getting at? I mean, I got to imagine you're going to be even more amped up. You're finally at home playing in front of home fans.
Well, you know, you think so, but what you want them to do is their preparation to take care of the performance on Saturday.
Okay.
So what we do during the course of this week is what's going to dictate what's going to happen on Saturday and how we prepare and how we go through the week in practice. We've had good weeks of practice thus far this season. We expect the same thing to take place this week, and that'll help dictate the performance on Saturday. So, is there going to be a heightened atmosphere? I hope so. They're here, but at the same time, you hope that it's not out of whack where they do things that are uncharacteristic to what they've been doing. And that's our job, to make sure as a coaching staff and mine as head coach, to make sure that our guys, you know, have a level head when they go out there to play, but also play with the same intensity we've been playing with, which is that we're playing at a high level.
You know, you're a nice guy, head coach Frank Selfo of the Southeastern Lions. You not only are friendly by coming on the show, but you have an open invite to everybody. Tiger fans, Wave fans, everybody, come on over to Strawberry Stadium. I love it, Coach. I love your confidence in your football team. And more importantly, hey, you want people to come and check them out.
Look, Gus, I've been involved in a lot of different schools and a lot of different offenses, a lot of different teams, and we got something special going on. We got the reigning player of the year in the country here. Yeah, I mean, you come watch him play. We got a 2-time All-American at corner. We got guys doing things that's never been done in the history of this school or even in the conference with some of the records we're breaking. And for someone to pass up an opportunity to watch these guys, I think they're missing out. You can't call yourself a true college football fan if you're not at least intrigued about coming up here and watching these guys play. Mm-hmm. So when people talk about the fair weather fans and things like that, you don't have anything to do on Saturday, or are you complaining about your team? Come on up here. We got something good going on.
I love that. There's a lot of places that are spending more time complaining than cheering, Coach. That is true. Let's wrap up with the key, sir, against HBU. Obviously, we touched on it. The excitement of being home. You guys are playing good football. I guess it's one of those keys is just go out there and continue to do what they do. But what does HBU bring to the stadium on Saturday?
Yeah, I think the execution of us on both sides of the ball is going to be key. We talked about the possessions, and that's going to be a big factor in the game. They're not going to run the ball much. That's not what they want to do. They want to throw it. They want to try to score from way out, throwing the football. They're not a big drive the field type of football team. They're really good defensively up front. Their record doesn't indicate any of that stuff, but when you look at it on film, you can see things are starting to come together. I think we got to do what we're supposed to do. We got to do the things that we're supposed to do to prepare this week, so that we trust our performance on Saturday. And when those things happen, we'll be fine. And we'll look up at the end of the game. If we do the things we're supposed to do, the scoreboard will be in our favor. If not, it won't. And those are the facts. For those people that come up here and it's the first time to see us, if you like what you see, come on back. If you don't like what you see, don't go back. Don't come back. They got some other places you can go watch games at.
I love it. The open invite. Come on over to Strawberry Stadium in Hammond. Check his team out. Head coach Frank Selfo, 4 p.m. against HBU. It's also homecoming. Unfortunately, Jordan, our intern, I guess he didn't win homecoming king. I don't even know if he's nominated himself. He's so worried about the walking class going out. He has a walking class, coach. I know I've told you about this. A walking class.
Hey, I probably need to join that class.
I hear you. Always enjoy chatting with you. Good luck. We'll talk again next Tuesday, sir.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you so much.
Yep, for sure. Lionsports.net. That is the way to follow them on their website. And of course on social media, it's real easy. At Lion Up Football. Our number two is in the books.